Welcome to the Crow Zone, real-time adventures. With Sarah Hübner, the communications adventurer, and Kerry Temple, the outdoor adventurer. Hello there, and welcome to the Grow Zone with communications adventurer Sarah Hübner and myself, Kerry Temple, outdoor adventurer. So today we are moving on to the second part of our podcast title. In the last podcast, we talked about the element, the Grow Zone, which was something that sprung out of my crazy mind. And now we're heading on to the second part, the real-time adventure in that. And since we are currently on the roller coaster ride of COVID-19, this fits also fairly well into our current adventure. So I'm going to hand over to Sarah now. And yeah, Sarah, how did you arrive at this part of the title?
I was thinking about what is it that both our projects or things that we have to offer have in common. And the first thing, adventures, that's easy. That was easy. So I knew we needed to have adventures in there somehow. We have different kinds of adventures and we'll be talking about that. Me within improv and you in the outdoors. And then real time came to me because one way of talking about improv in German without saying improvisation, but you can say Echtzeit. So Echtzeitabenteuer. And I thought, well, also we are in real time. This is not recorded when whatever we do, it's being there in the moment. So real time seemed to fit really well.
Cool.
Anyway, I'm interested to know, what does real time mean to you?
Yeah, it's interesting. It makes me think a lot because adventures is obviously really obvious that, you know, that part of it is quite clear. I'm happy to go into that because I could talk for a long time about what adventure is, but maybe that's for another question. But the real time side of it is quite exciting because I think the thought of adventure is obviously the unknown side of it, but the real time aspect implies spontaneity. It implies less planning, being open-minded. And that is obviously still part of an adventure, but it's also teaching us to adapt and be flexible. And that's a lot also at the heart of what we do when we actually go out and do events in the outdoors. It's actually dealing with the unexpected, dealing with the elements that are flung at you, dealing with the people that you're with, and also being mindful of where you're at in the space that you're at the moment and connecting with that and making your choices in real time and being able to let go of a plan. So I think that's why when you came up with Real Time Adventures, it wouldn't have been something that I'd have come up with, which is really, you know, really exciting. But yeah, it fits really well in that way. What's the advantage of real time for you in improv?
It could be an advantage and a disadvantage. You can't repeat it.
Yeah.
it's something that it's a fleeting moment. It's there. And once it's gone, it's gone. And I guess I'll just leave that there because it's an advantage and a disadvantage. A disadvantage is, it was so beautiful. But I would like to relive it, but I can't. Or it was so scary. You don't want to relive it. So it's gone. So it's two sides of the same coin. And an advantage is that there is no stop button. We're so used to controlling everything, being in charge of everything. And in real time, when you're in the moment, one thing we can't do is stop time. So we have to be present. We have to be in the moment if we want to experience something. As in contrast to getting onto your mobile phone and distracting. So it's being present with the mind. That's something I really think is very valuable in our times.
Yeah, that is a good point. When you're on a real-time adventure, you're so involved in that moment. You're in the flow of it. Your mind is on that and everything else, the rest of the world, yeah, it can go jump at that moment because you are in your zone, and are not, yeah, the advantage is not being disturbed. But what, in order to get to that point, what in improv, what do you need? What support and parameters?
I would just like to jump on that idea of it always amazes me when I go to improv workshops or festivals or so, is how few people are on their phones, how people are generally present. Whereas like if you go, especially like public transport or so, people try to escape that moment. They try to transfer themselves into a different time. But with improv, you're there in the moment and you don't want to be anywhere else. And I think that in itself speaks for the quality and for the enjoyment of the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really cool point. That does speak for it because you have put it away. I think we have another challenge in the outdoors that we have our phones that we want to photo things with and record things. And sometimes that can be actually a barrier.
Yes,
for the real time adventures.
Yeah, and it takes you out. It's almost like I think sometimes it's an excuse of not letting yourself in. Like, you have to be brave to live things through. And if you take yourself out, like for a fun photo, maybe. Yet often I find that people set up photos so it looks like they're having a great adventure, but it's just the photo that looks like the adventure. Yeah. Then people get back to what they're doing and it's not necessarily so much an adventure. Mm. So sometimes the photos want to simulate a real-time adventure, yet the real-time adventure can only happen in that moment. Mm-hmm. And maybe somebody who's not part of it can capture that. I think it's very difficult to capture a real-time adventure properly with a photo?
I think the real-time adventure is an experience, isn't it? Yeah. And you carry from that real-time, you carry the emotions with you from that experience that are far more powerful than an instant shot of one of the 100 shots that you've maybe made in the day.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not... I think it's a good point to make sure that also part of real-time adventures that we're aware of that role of technology and that we're also in some ways encouraging people that would normally always be taking pictures or always answerable at the end of the phone line to put the technology to one side for the activities.
Yeah, and we're not discrediting technology or taking pictures as such.
No.
because often... Yeah. It's nice to have some photos and it jogs your memory and then it can kind of put you back into that time. Mm-hmm. It's just there. If it's an excuse almost for not taking part, or if the technology, the recording of the event takes over the actual event, that's when it becomes tricky.
Yeah, the whole point is through the experience that you're connecting with something else, isn't it? That you don't normally have that opportunity to connect. Connect with when you have technology there, you have to look for other sources of things to connect with, and that's a really useful skill and experience to have.
And what about adventure then? If we take adventure and the meaning of adventure, you said you could talk about it for hours. Let's hear.
Well, I think I love the topic of adventure. It's obviously my craft, but it's also I read a lot about adventure. I read a lot of books and listen to podcasts all about adventurers. So probably whatever I say about adventure has been said many times by people that are big adventurers, much bigger than me. But actually that what I love about adventure is adventure is completely relative. So it's, for someone, it might be that you've got to cross the Himalayas. That might be what an adventure is. But for other people, an adventure is going on a walk in the neighborhood and exploring a local forest that you've never been to before. It might be actually doing something completely different, like doing the shopping for someone in an area that you wouldn't normally go to. And a part of an adventure is that you are doing something that's unknown. So there's an element that's going to take you outside of your comfort zone, and also test your limits. So so if it was, if you were going out to to do something, you know that you're going to be, you're going to be pushed in some way because, there's some element of risk to it. Otherwise, it would just be called a trip to the shops or, a normal walk. And I think it needs to have that element somehow to it. Yeah, that's my definition of what I think an adventure is.
Yes, yeah. I totally agree with you. And it's also a mindset. So you can make something an adventure that may not be an adventure by, if we go for a walk, the openness that we have for receiving the signals or invitations that... I love going for a walk along the Isar, the river here, which is nearby where I live. And I often go the same path. And sometimes I just want to go the same path. And I just want to sort of get free my headspace. And it's not necessarily so much about the outward surroundings, except that I want to be in nature. And sometimes I'd be walking the same path, yet it'll be an adventure because I'm opening up and seeing the people, seeing what's growing. And there's not necessarily risk involved in that. So maybe you would say it's not an adventure, but my senses are heightened and I'm aware and I'm willing to, sometimes I'll then start a little conversation or interaction with somebody, or I'll stop and dip my feet in the water and see what happens. So it's this openness to letting things happen that are not part of my plan.
Yeah.
What I like.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I'd like to offer a quote from Keith Johnstone, one of the grandfathers of improv, and it's probably his most well-known quote. So every improviser who's listening probably knows it, yet I don't know if everybody else does. So there are people who prefer to say yes, and there are people who prefer to say no. Those who say yes are rewarded by the adventures they have. Those who say no are rewarded by the safety they attain. And what I like about that, it captures safety is okay too.
Mm-hmm.
Yet if you want to have an adventure, safety won't necessarily, you can't have the same level of safety because adventure includes not knowing and going into the unknown. And I think it goes along with mindset of openness. And I like putting also going along with a conversation can be an adventure. There are some people that I'm not that always that keen on talking to because I actually can predict what they're going to tell me. Maybe that's me being closed-minded. And then sometimes I try to challenge myself, but there's other people where I know that whenever I talk to them, I don't know what they're going to tell me. So just having a conversation with them takes me onto new paths, new ways of thinking that I may not have thought before. And I love that. I love that being able to go onto that journey and being challenged in a way. So an adventure can start anywhere if we have the right or the mindset for it.
Yeah. How do you think that mindset comes about? I think we're lucky that we come from a background of a field of education where curiosity and growth, this growth mindset, we talked about it in the last episode, is really encouraged. But how can we nurture that in people?
I think trust is a key part that you know, you feel safe in some way that... which is a contradiction. So you want, it's what you were saying before, it's trust, it's expanding your safety, what you're going out for risk, but there's still somehow a way back maybe. And you know that you and the people you're going on the adventure with, there's trust there, then you can go on bigger adventures. If you feel safe with the people that you're with, and the conditions, then you can stretch yourself a lot more. If you have too many worries, then you're just caring about staying within the safety net that helps you survive. So And I think one other aspect that's, I know you have lots of ideas probably on that, some of your own energy. You need a certain amount of energy. Mm-hmm. When I'm tired, exhausted on some level, mm-hmm. I don't have what it takes to go on an adventure. Mm-hmm. I want to feel the tickle and the excitement when I go out there. And that I can only do when I have the energy. And how you get the energy, that's another topic in itself.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I think it's really funny that the real time adventure for me is kind of a bit of a paradox in a way, because a lot of what I do in adventure planning, especially working with young people, is we talk a lot about risk management, about learning to assess risk in various ways along the way to create an adventure that's going to be a success, in terms that they're going to, you know, make it to the end in one piece and all be friends at the end of it and achieve whatever goal along the way too. But obviously you don't want to wrap them in so much in cotton wool that they don't experience anything, because that's absolutely not the point of it. And I think the point of adventuring and the point of preparing for adventure is actually it's to build confidence, to know and trust in yourself, like you said, to know and trust in yourself that you can deal with anything that comes your way, that you can keep calm, that you can dig deep into yourself and pull out those resources exactly when you need them for a real-time adventure. So I think we're playing, aren't we, making adventures with people. We're playing where people get to practice these skills in different kinds of scenarios, so that when they really need those skills, they know that they've got that inner confidence because they've done that before in different settings, and they draw on those skills then to solve the real life problems from adventure. So those are the parameters. I think I'm trying to think if that fits with parameters now, but I think that is that you're providing the safe training environment for that to begin with. And I think it's interesting working between improv and the outdoors, how there are transfers in those two skills. Can you see any way that there's transfers between that?
Yes, yeah. It's exactly the same in many ways that with improv. Well, with a show, for example, an improv show, you don't know what's going to happen. And before that, we train like dealing with the unknown. So an improv show, you can play it safe in an improv show too. You can take formats that are quite strict, where you act within certain parameters. Or you can be more open and really be a bit more of a risk taker. And if you have a regular audience, actually, you will probably lose a regular audience if you play it safe all the time, because then the audience will go, oh, I've seen that before. I've seen that game before. The risk is gone. Well, I find that, yeah, when you in real life, or life, you we have certain routines, we have structures set up, yet things will go wrong. So we can't always control life. Nobody's life is completely controlled. And the more tools you have in your toolbox to be able to go with the flow when something doesn't go as planned, the more helpful that will be. And I know I find a lot of confidence in knowing, okay, when something goes a bit pear-shaped, often I am able to smile. I'm not going to dwell on like, oh no, this has gone wrong. This shouldn't be like this. I'll very quickly go, okay, this is not like that. That's the situation. I'm not going to judge it or say we should have done that. I'm going to look at the situation and I go, okay, these are our options. So I can take a deep breath and I know that I will look for the options that are there and take it from there. That has helped me so many times. I notice in the classroom, obviously, you're never under complete control. There's too many people with their own minds. So and the more you go with the flow and with what's there, the more you're with your students, and everybody is a more active learner. If I go in there with a ready-made lesson plan where I know exactly when I will do what, and maybe even what answers I'm expecting, the students are going to play the guessing game of trying to guess my answers, if I'm lucky, if they haven't switched off completely. And what kind of learning will have happened? They will be guessing what I want them to say. Whereas if I ask more open questions where I don't know exactly what I want to hear, or where, when I even admit, I don't know that, let's find that out together. It's amazing the shift that happens in the classroom and where your learners are suddenly with you. And in improv, I know several activities and how to play them, but each time I play them, they're different, and each member of the group will play them differently. So it's always a new setting and a new adventure. So, Kerry, how do you think we can integrate real-time adventures in our everyday life? Because it's going on a big hike, that is lovely, but what can we do?
So I think there are like many different opportunities for real-time adventures, whether it's simply going out for a 10-minute walk and taking a route that you wouldn't normally take a different turning and see where you end up, and just go out and wander and not give yourself a time limit and just go and see where you end up and be curious. Look at things in a different light. If you, especially if you've got something else on your mind and you want to have having a real time adventure where you're focusing on something completely different, you can clear your mind from that, as in that you go out and you think, okay, I'm going to look for as many things along the way that I can find that begin with a certain letter or are a certain color, or you're seeing something in a completely different light. I know a game as well that is great for families that I learned from a good friend of mine who, as a child, her mum would take her out on walks around their town, and she'd have a little bag with instructions in them, and they would get to a turning and it would say go left, and then she'd pull out the next one, and the next turning go right, go straight ahead, and they would walk around and explore their neighbourhood just through creating random routes. And I just find that such a magical way of creating a little adventure in your local area that doesn't require much effort or maybe much going out of your comfort zone, but it's still a fun adventure. So I don't think you have to go completely mad to think, you don't have to take it to extremes to call something an adventure. Although I have said, it's testing your limits, but it's testing you in different ways. Maybe the testing of your limits is going on a 20-minute adventure without looking at your phone or without thinking about something else. That's also testing your limit in a different way.
I love the idea of going for a walk and having these cards that give you suggestions of what to do, because especially kids, they say, let's go for a walk. That's not necessarily something they find adventurous or fun, but if you say let's go on an adventure walk, and then they know that it's into the unknown, and then there's play involved right away. How fun. I guess you can make those cards yourself.
I think you can just do it on scrap the paper and put them in an envelope or whatever comes to hand.
I think I'm going to try that next time I go for a walk. And I won't know which direction I'll be heading. No.
Well, hopefully we'll see you again.
You never know. If you, dear listeners, have any suggestions or questions or anything that you would like to share with us on the topics that we have been talking about, do drop us an email. We'd love to hear from you. You can find our email address in the show notes.
And at the moment, we are in show number 5 of the podcast. And very soon we will be putting these all onto those bigger podcast networks such as iTunes and Spotify. And we would be really grateful if you've enjoyed this to hop on over to iTunes after this and give us a nice review so that we can share the podcast Grow Zone magic.
Yes. I hope you find a real-time adventure today or tomorrow, or maybe every day. And thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. She's not waving for a change.
I'm sat right opposite you, aren't I? I'm not on a screen.
Oh, it's the screen that causes the waving.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Screen or a phone. I always wave when I'm on saying goodbye to people on the phone.
So you wave when you're on the phone too?
But no one knows because they can't see me.
Okay. Good. Well, so next time I say goodbye to you on the phone, in my mind, I'll picture you waving.
Thank you for listening to The Grow Zone Real-Time Adventures. For more adventures and information, check out www.sarahhoopner.de, The Grow Zone, or 4elements.eu.
Kerry, let's go on an imaginary adventure together.
Cool.
So we're having a real-time adventure, an imaginary one. Mm-hmm. And basically, we are going to remember something, a time that we spent together that we actually haven't spent together, but we'll be making it up. And each one of us adds one sentence at a time and we build on each other's ideas.
Sounds good.
Good. So I'll start off. Kerry, do you remember when we went onto the Olympic Tower in Munich?
Oh, wow. Gosh, that was a while ago, but I do remember. And that was a really exciting day. I think it was your birthday.
Yes, exactly. It was my birthday. And you were wearing a beautiful dress.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I bought that dress at a flea market in Istanbul.
Oh, yes, exactly. And it still had the price tag on it in lira, Turkish lira. And I remember that price tag getting caught in the lift that took us up to the tower.
Yeah, that was a really unfortunate moment. And it got caught in the lift. And then I ended up having to almost like take off one layer of the dress to get out.
Yes, exactly. And that lift was so crowded. There were about 30 people. It's one of those mass lifts. And I tried to hold up my jacket to cover up so that you could do that with a bit more discretion.
Yeah, it was really difficult. And then people thought that you were actually trying to stop other people getting out of the lift with your big jacket.
Yes, like this one guy with a black moustache and swirled in great detail. He actually poked me with his umbrella.
Oh, that was such a shame. And he was really quite rude in the end when we, tried to explain that we couldn't let him into the lift or out of the lift because I was completely stuck with my dress and was about to lose my dress.
Yes, exactly. I almost burst into tears too because I felt a bit helpless.
Yeah, I think in the end I was quite lucky that someone from the bar came running along then with a pair of scissors to help.
Yes. Oh, it was a really good looking guy. I remember the cocktail we had with him afterwards. That was the best part. And with a nice view.
Yeah, absolutely. It was worth the effort with the scissors in the end. And yes, indeed, he was a nice cocktail man. But I don't think I think we might have had more than the one cocktail.
I can't remember. The end. So, how was that for you? Because this was the first time you played it.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, I'm learning an awful lot about improv. I'm learning that to just accept whatever is coming into my mind and go with it. That actually, it's a good giggle. But it's also, the real time. You're in the moment and you say that. And as soon as you've said whatever you've said, you're on to the next thing because I'm listening to hear what you're coming up with. So yeah, it's good fun, and that for me is an adventure too. Mm. So yes, audience, don't judge me, please.
Yeah, and you can't plan ahead because you always just need to build on the idea of the other person, and there's no time to criticize your own idea too much because otherwise you lose what's been the momentum of the game, and what it's out there now. Deal with it.
Yeah,
and the nice thing is, because it's a real-time adventure, you generally don't have to go back to it. Now, this one is recorded, but on the whole, it's gone. It's that was it. Yet it does seem strangely real to me, like if we actually had that experience.
Thankfully not. And I definitely haven't yet been to Istanbul, unfortunately, to buy a dress from a flea market, but maybe one day
I will. Yeah. And you wouldn't get the label caught in the lift.
No. I might go for the free cocktail, though.
Yeah. I will definitely keep a lookout now from now on to always take the labels off dresses.